Hi everyone, Gary Morris here with your post-match analysis off the back of what was quite an incredible end to the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, as he has been all the way through the tournament here for us here on the Fourth Official. I am joined by my good friend Will Reid. Welcome back, Will.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, privileged to be on to talk about this game tonight. Very historic game.
I know normally, recently, certainly big matches, big finals can sometimes turn out to be kind of a bit damp squibby. That they seem the kind of big prize seems to stifle a lot of the excitement and the kind of spectacle of it all. But you really can't say that at all about this afternoon's game, that pretty much had everything you could have expected from two heavyweights of the game really going at it toe to toe pretty much all the way through. But there were stories and there was individual performances and performance, and it just really had drama and brought pretty much everything to the table that we really didn't necessarily think we were going to get, especially kind of an hour into the game where it was fairly one-sided and quite sedate at times, but it turned into quite the spectacle.
Yeah, we did finally get the billing we're told of Messi versus Mbappe. Yeah, and I think that was 6 to 7 minutes it took for France to have an attempt at goal. So yeah, they just kicked up a notch from there. I think the only final, I think when it was France and Italy 2006. So it's probably been the best final since then. But this kind of goes down as probably one of the greatest of all time. So I think it definitely surpasses that. But in my head, I was trying to think of a better final watching and it's kind of a spectacle and excitement, but definitely best since the 2006 final.
Yeah, I think in terms of international football, absolutely. I think really only the kind of Liverpool Milan Champions League final, the kind of siege comeback in terms of kind of excitement, and then obviously that going to penalties as well. And some similarities between that, but yeah, that in terms of big international tournaments, it was by far the best spectacle. Certainly turned out that way for me. But yeah, just really enjoyable game, and I think you can't go into it without really talking about the two kind of semi-finals. But before we get to that point, obviously Morocco being the surprise package of the tournament, and Croatia yet again punching well above their weight by getting to the semi-finals, and by them kind of beating Brazil in the quarters. So that was pretty much their big result, but they just ran out of steam a little bit going into the matches against France and Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting Morocco to win that third place one. It almost felt as if Croatia sleepwalked away to that semi final. I know they turned it up against Brazil, but they were very stodgy. As they knocked out Japan 0-0 well in penalties and managed to get it to penalties for Brazil. So as much as Croatia did well, I wasn't actually impressed with them until the third place game where I didn't expect them to perform and they did.
Yeah, and certainly Morocco just kind of running out of steam. They put so much into the tournament. A few players, I reckon, will have put themselves well into the shop window, the likes of Amrabat and former midfielder Unani, who very much had breakout tournaments, and be interesting to see what happens to them, particularly in the January window, if they can capitalise on their kind of newfound attention. But yeah, for an African side and an Arab side to have got quite so well in this tournament, I think it certainly helped the tournament in terms of the kind of legacy that it's got for African football, for Middle Eastern football, and it certainly was one of the big stories that came out of the competition.
Yeah, and one of the things we mentioned in the previous pods was the atmosphere at the games, and I think having Argentina with that huge fan base, Morocco with that huge fan base, it did bring that atmosphere to these games. Definitely did help in the later stages having those crowds back in Morocco and Argentina.
Yeah, so obviously going into today's final, it looked very much a kind of 50-50. France had been very impressive at times throughout the tournament, bolstered by almost an embarrassment of riches up front, the likes of Griezmann, who's had a phenomenal tournament. And Griezmann's been a player who at times is kind of flattered to deceive in terms of performing at the right highest level, considering how strong a career he's had, and obviously played for big teams and big competitions, but he's never been one that's really delivered on the top stage, but I think he's found a way for Deschamps in this tournament to be almost their kind of catalyst and allowing for Mbappe and for Giroud ahead of them to kind of get the goals. But they, I think, going into this, you were going, right, well, that was the key for them. In midfield, they looked pretty strong. That they had Rabiot back in there as well, who'd obviously had a good game against England before obviously missing the semi-final. And Tchouameni, who's had an excellent tournament for them as well. So they looked pretty strong going into it. And I think for me, it was a little bit more than just the whole Mbappe versus Messi. I think for Argentina, Julian Alvarez has had a breakout tournament for them as well. And really their midfield three of Rodrigo De Paul, who has been excellent for Napoli for a long period of time. The young midfielder from Benfica, Fernandez, who ended up winning the young player of the tournament, who's been excellent. And obviously Brighton's Alexis McAllister, who I think is, I've seen plenty of comments today that his performance today will certainly have put him in the shop window, and I'm sure Brighton's owners, whilst that they won't be issuing out the door very quickly, they're certainly going to make it a fairly healthy profit on him if they were to cash in on him.
Yeah, and Brighton definitely don't sell players on the cheap as well, so I think there'll be tough negotiators for anyone to try and sign Alexis McAllister. But the one player that actually grew in me the tournament went on was that Rodrigo De Paul. I remember watching the first couple of games, like this player didn't really seem up to scratch in terms of his passing ability and his technical ability. But it's when you see the job that he does to allow Messi to play, and I think that's what that was the whole system that Argentina do, is to try and enable Messi to get the space and play. But Rodrigo De Paul was basically doing the work of two men. It wasn't until you seen them against the better teams you noticed the job that he was doing. But he was the one who I was skeptical about first, and they grew on me.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think to kind of take it back to the game, that was where, certainly first half for me, the big tactical change of bringing back Angel Di Maria, and he really was probably the difference maker in that first half for me today. Well, in terms of his kind of running and his ability, the French defence really didn't know how to take him. And I think him combined with obviously Messi kind of dropping well into the 10 and that protection provided by the midfield three, who had the extra man in midfield over France's two in there, that they completely dominated and gave themselves the platform. And pretty much every time that Di Maria got on the ball, he looked dangerous and France looked panicky, and that obviously led to the opening penalty, which I've seen some people comment on being quite soft, but for me it looked a penalty all day long. The more you see it, you see that Dembele was pretty naive with the challenge he made on Di Maria, and really kind of summed up his performance really in that first half. He really didn't get anywhere near the Argentinians, but Di Maria was really the outball for Argentina and certainly the early part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can see where Barcelona fans are frustrated with Dembele, where he does blow that hot and cold, and obviously it was a cold one today. And yeah, when you look at the penalty, it's the slightest of touches, but he's always going to hit the ground. And yeah, I think it was a good goal by Argentina playing Di Maria. I think they were targeting Koundé playing the right back, who's a centre-half. Because they'd played Paredes against Croatia, and they played the five at the back against Holland, so it was quite defensive formations have played in the attacking formation in the final. Was quite a brave move from Argentina. And yeah, Di Maria obviously scored the goal and got the penalty for the first, so definitely made the right call there.
Yeah, obviously well taken by Messi, and I don't think anyone's in any doubt that he was going to stick away that first penalty. That it seemed to be written down that he was going to have a major part to play in the game. Second goal was an absolute beauty, like a really, really sweeping counter-attack move. McAllister absolutely influential with that beautiful wee flick around the corner from Messi. McAllister with the ball across the ball, and a lovely wee finish from Di Maria, very kind of reminiscent of an Old Firm goal from years gone by with the kind of sweeping counter-attack. But it's a lovely, lovely goal and a great move. And by that point, Argentina were so dominant, and the French were so far back that they just couldn't get near them.
No, we're talking about obviously the Messi and Mbappe thing, and then that goal there just obviously disproves that. Where it was a great team goal from Argentina. Where there's a great team unit that can play well, and yeah, if France just didn't seem to get out the traps. I don't know if Giroud was fit because they did end up taking him off, and there was the rumours about trying to get Benzema in. So it wasn't until they actually made those changes that France, I think they made maybe a couple of changes on the hour, that France actually came into the game, and it was the penalty that I think obviously spurred them to life. And it's very reminiscent of what happened in the Holland game where they were 2-0 up and cruising, and then as the game dwindles on, they almost threw it away.
Yeah, but I don't think you can really say that it was France's first half. They were miles off. Obviously, a lot of talk pre-match about that there being viruses in the camp, and players, they certainly didn't have the same levels of energy first half of the seemed to be able to march the Argentinians. But yeah, you mentioned that those two changes before half time, Dembele being withdrawn, who really, really struggled to get anything going in there, and Giroud, who to be fair hadn't had much service to be fair, but he was withdrawn, allowed them to bring on Marcus Thuram, who obviously gave them a bit more of a kind of powerful energy, and the midfielder who had a very decent semi-final in terms of being able to just kind of drive them forward a little bit more. It just gave them a bit more energy, and he's a player who I really hadn't seen too much of before the tournament in Colin Moani, but he certainly was a bit more involved in terms of giving them that extra man in midfield, and it certainly allowed Rabiot and Tchouameni to get a bit more of a foothold into the game in the second half.
Yeah, I've been quite impressed with Kolo Muani when I've seen him. There was the cross that Mbappe put in, and he was just an inch away from getting his head onto it. He was one of the ones that scored one of the penalties as well for France. So, there isn't many players in that France squad you haven't heard of or playing at a big club. I think he moved to Frankfurt in the summer. So that's probably someone that will be looking to make the step up after that, maybe after impressing the World Cup as well. But
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that really took till you mentioned that those other changes were made, and when they sacrificed Griezmann with 20 minutes to go, bringing on Kingsley Coman, the Bayern Munich winger, and Camavinga coming on for Theo Hernandez. And Camavinga, who certainly isn't renowned for being a left back, so it was kind of last throw of the dice at that point from the French, and Kingsley Coman certainly gave him energy and gave him a bit of directness, and was very highly influential in obviously getting them back into the game in terms of helping them obviously win that first penalty that they got, and that which certainly brought them back into the game.
Yeah, and I think it was just there was a different focus for Argentina than just on Mbappe, and that what gave him the space to get into the game. And once Mbappe got into the mood and into the spaces, you could just see he looked like he was going to score or create a chance every time he got the ball. So it's also opened that up for the game for him finally.
Yeah, so obviously Mbappe, lovely penalty. I think Martinez got a hand to it, but wasn't quite able to keep it out. And then less than 2 minutes later, another goal and an absolutely beautiful kind of half volley finish from Mbappe. And at that point, as you mentioned, a bit of history repeating itself from the Dutch game, Argentina blowing out a 2-0 lead. And at that time, France had all the momentum, and you were just kind of glad, I think, from an Argentinian perspective that the full-time whistle came, because there was only one way that game was going if it had maybe another 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think Argentinians were just wanting to try and get into full-time and regroup and get into extra time. Just reminiscent of that Holland game as well, where it seemed to be just a period between just before full-time, where Holland went for it and then didn't really come into it again in extra time. I had that feeling as well in extra time, where France kind of stepped off again, and it was they weren't as poor as they were in the first half, but it was still Argentina looked like the team that was going to try and win it, I think, in extra time as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Extra time beckoned, and at that point you were absolutely delighted to get another half hour of this game, because it had turned into a proper contest, and you two teams kind of going at it back and forward. Really kind of, it looked as if Argentina were obviously going to get it over the line again. A lovely goal from Lionel Messi would be about 10 to go. Hint of offside, but it was just that kind of well-timed run. Lovely finish from a cutback, and at that point you're going, well, can France get back into it again? But yeah, that, it looked as if that was going to be the winning goal.
Yeah, I think everybody was waiting for the script where Messi it was but just before full time in the 97th minute, Messi had a shot, was well saved, and I think that was the moment. And then Messi did get his goal, and the writers, 10 minutes left, this is it written down, this is the script. But then there's another twist in it, but yeah, with obviously the late penalty that France got, and the player had his elbow up, put his arms in the air, so those penalties get given all the time now these days. It's a better standard penalty to give.
Yeah, and for Mbappe to be able to step up and get the other equaliser at that point, obviously hat-trick for him, and to kind of score a hat-trick in a World Cup final, it's not something you see every day, and for a young player at only 23, that's him now scored 11 goals across two World Cup finals, which is quite an incredible record, really. And he's absolutely going to be the heir apparent to Messi going forward in these sort of tournaments. But yeah, some achievement for him, and obviously ended up winning the Golden Boot for the whole tournament, but wasn't going to be enough for them. But yeah, quite an achievement for Mbappe.
Yeah, I think 1966, obviously Jeff Hurst got the hat-trick in that game, and scored a hat-trick in a final and not won as well. So Mbappe's only 23. He's got at least another 2 World Cups, 3 World Cups in him, so he'll get his opportunity again to do it. And the goalkeeper, Martinez, almost got to the second penalty as well. People were criticising Kane for stepping up to take the second penalty against France, but I didn't see the logic in that, and same for Mbappe stepping up to take the second there as well.
Okay, he's the talisman, and given he's a confidence player, he'd already scored 2, I didn't see there was any chance of him not stepping up to kind of take that second one as well. And at that point you're going, yep, so yeah, looking like it's going to penalties. And at that point, you're going, well, how's it going to go? Obviously, Messi and Mbappe starting the penalty shootouts that are both their sides. And something I saw mentioned on Twitter about it's good that, obviously, that their talisman players go to take the first one rather than looking for the glory penalty. And certainly lovely penalties and plenty of composure from Messi just to kind of roll his in, try get his team off the mark.
Yeah, different approaches for Mbappe and Messi. Messi tries to second guess the keeper and put it the wait for him to go, whereas Mbappe just goes for power in the corner, and it's not it's going to be too powerful for the keeper to get a hand on it.
But yeah, what did you make of the missed penalties from the French? Obviously, Coman has one good save from Martinez, and then a lovely bit of gamesmanship before the Tchouaméni penalty, which he obviously managed to put wide. But Martinez has been a goalkeeper all the way through this tournament that's looked as if he's got a penalty save in him.
Yeah, he's always been close, I think, and he was bound to save one. He guessed the right way, and it wasn't straight in the corner, so the one for Coman was a straightforward save from him. And it was the Pulis dance he did with his shoulders, but I think that was after the penalty was missed, he did that. But yeah, there was definitely a bit of gamesmanship going on there, and he was kicking the ball away and kind of delaying tactics as well. But yeah, these things happen, especially with Argentinians. You're definitely not surprised with those sort of antics from Argentinians.
Yeah, they're good at the old dark arts, as impressive as they were. As a team, they've always got that wee bit of devilment about them as well, and I think all successful sides need to have a little bit of that in them. Gustavo Montiel, the kind of fullback who came on late in the game, he was obviously conceded the penalty right in the kind of last minute for the handball. He ended up being the cup winner for them in terms of the winning penalty, lovely tucked away, and then seemed to take forever to get from obviously that winning penalty to the prize-giving ceremony to actually the Argentinians getting the cup. And quite a bizarre moment during those celebrations where Gianni Infantino manages to put what looks like a and summer style dressing gown on Lionel Messi before he gets to take the trophy. Quite a bizarre sight that, but I'm going up to lift the trophy for that, and kind of took away a little bit from the overall spectacle and the pictures of maybe the greatest player of all time finally getting his moment, and they stop him to put that on him. A bit strange. I don't know what your take on that was.
Yeah, it was Infantino, and I can't remember the other person, is walking up, obviously, from the Qatar delegation, that they're kind of whispering in his ear, saying, if you put this on, you're going to get X amount of money in your bank account if you wear this. That's what I was seeing going through my head. But even for myself, it was quite emotional for me watching Messi in Europe. A lot of people were probably in the same boat, wanting to see Messi win the World Cup. And once the game was done, you wanted to see him lift the World Cup, and you're like, come on, when are we getting to it? And it's just going through the ceremony of all the people, all the referees getting it, and then the player of the tournament, goalkeeper, and the top goal scorer. And then it was, he almost got like the two of them had their hands on him, getting a place in Messi where he was supposed to go and lift it up. So yeah, it was a bit surreal, that part, and it did take a wee bit of the shine off of it. But yeah, with Messi kissing the World Cup, that was a great scene as well. So he didn't have the shawl or the time when he had that on. So I think that's the picture everyone can hopefully go with.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that celebrated the beginning of the celebrations and the end of the tournament at that point. And I think looking back on the tournament as a whole, Will, it was one goal more than the previous highest ever goal scored in a World Cup tournament, which was 2016. And I think given some of the levels of excitement, particularly group stage games and some of the knockout games, the surprise packages in terms of unfancied teams getting good results, so like Argentina losing the opening to Saudi Arabia, Morocco doing so well, the likes of Canada making a good account for themselves. So I think you can probably say it's been quite a successful tournament in lots of ways. Whether that's been enough to hide some of the moral arguments about the tournament, and certainly none of that will go away from here, but certainly the football's allowed to do itself at the talking, and there's been lots of good football on show, which I think has certainly helped the tournament, and I think it will be looked back upon as being quite a successful spectacle on the pitch, if not necessarily off the pitch.
Yeah, it was exciting World Cup to watch. As decent times for the people in the UK to watch it as well, which is always a bonus. And yeah, I think we talked about it at the start, because it was the time of year, the climate, the obviously being held in Qatar, you were going to expect some strange results, and we did get some of those. And teams like Morocco getting to a semi-final, I don't think anyone could have predicted that. Croatia have the history of previous tournaments of getting to finals and semi-finals, so you can see that one happening, but I don't think anybody would have predicted any African team. And if there was going to be an African team, you wouldn't have predicted Morocco would have been in there. So I think, yeah, in terms of a spectacle and shocks, and even like and then they summed up with the final today, it was football-wise a great tournament. And we'll see what happens with Qatar. I think they'll use this as a platform to try and get the Olympics, and we'll find out if the spotlight being on them here has any impact on them trying to get the Olympics. That's the one I would look out for after this.
Yeah, absolutely. So now it all rolls on to the USA, Canada and Mexico in 4 years' time. Certainly Scaloni's comments at the end of the match tonight, saying that obviously Messi's not retiring at this stage in international football. Means to be seen whether he'll still be about in 4 years' time, but certainly the whispers around of the move to MLS and Inter Miami. I don't know if it's just the stars all aligning a little bit in terms of Messi going to the US and then maybe finally bowing out his storied career with a tournament in there. I don't know if that's maybe just too kind of fairy tale-y for him, but be interesting to see what happens in that front. But as you said, you can't really argue the career he's had for him to finally get his moment with his national team. Certainly been a long time coming for him, and will certainly look to try and satisfy some of those greatest of all time arguments now. The fact that he's now got that World Cup to his name as well, like obviously his great hero Diego Maradona.
Yeah, so I think when you talk about the greatest player of all time, he's at least you can genuinely put him up there. I'm saying he's got the World Cup there, so he can be in that group of your Pelés and Maradonas, and obviously there's other ones who haven't won the World Cup, but just have Nolan Cruyff, but he's definitely ones that should be in that line. He should be up there with them. And it comes to the World Cup in America, and it's obviously full circle when Maradona played in 1994, and you shouldn't really have been there, and you wouldn't want to have a Messi there who's just there because of his name rather than he's still able to do it. So hopefully I don't see Messi there, because I don't think it would be good for his legacy.
No, we'll remain to be seen what will happen on that one. Messi, player of the tournament for FIFA, I think that was always probably going to happen. Depending on which way the result went tonight, it was either going to be Messi or Mbappe. We're going to get that. But outside of probably those two, well, who else has really caught your eye during the tournament? Maybe not necessarily just from the teams that are playing this evening.
Well, I think obviously Gakpo from Holland. After watching him against for PSV, he kind of had a big billing moving to Man U, but he didn't really deliver against us. But then seeing him on the World Cup stage, we got to see the type of player he actually is. So that's probably the main one that stood out for me. Then you looked at Morocco with Amrabat, and there was the centre mid, who's, I can't remember his name now, but he's playing one of the kind of mid-level teams in France. So he's one of the ones going to be making big moves there. I know that there was a Canada didn't come out the group, but I was impressed with the attackers and their team. There's Buchanan on the wing. I thought he was a really dangerous player as well. Probably kind of more left field one for me.
No, absolutely. And I think given the timing of the tournament and the fact we've obviously got a winter window coming up as well, always seems to happen that players kind of coming from nowhere, having a good tournament and then get themselves kind of big moves. And you just wonder just how many of these players will be the kind of big names are moving about in January now. I think there'll be a lot of interest in, as you say, the likes of the Moroccan players, the Canadian ones that certainly have got a bigger profile now than they had probably going into the tournament. And I think there's also an argument to be made that there are some players who are probably at a slightly lower level than what they might turn out to be. Maybe guys like Alexis McAllister, who I think had a phenomenal match tonight, and I think outside of the goal scorers, probably would have a strong argument for being man of the match in any other normal game. Obviously, wouldn't happen with the fact five of the six goals were scored by Messi and Mbappe tonight, but I think he's got all the makings of a 70 million move to Chelsea all about him in January, and you couldn't argue about how well he's done. Another few players I think have caught my eye, some of the Japanese players I think can certainly kind of hold their hands up high for their contributions to the tournament. And another Brighton player, Matoma, I think very much kind of will have enhanced his profile over the last few weeks, and things will look very healthy, I think, if you're Brighton's bank manager. Yes. If you wake up tomorrow morning, because also talk of Moises Caicedo, who had a very decent tournament, albeit for a struggling Ecuador side, and he's another player who has certainly been linked in some quarters down in England for another big money move. So yeah, certainly plenty of opportunity for Brighton to cash in on a successful World Cup tournament for them.
And just one player who won't be making a move because he already made his move is Alvarez at Man City, where I think they only paid about $8 million for him. But what they do with him now, where he's going to be coming back saying, I was a start of the World Cup and expecting a game, and you've got Erling Haaland there. So, but I know that Alvarez did play on the left and kind of was cutting in. So it's just, did Man City find a space for him and Haaland now, just with his profile stepped up a gear now following the World Cup?
Maybe allows them to maybe manage Haaland a little bit more and maybe rotate him slightly more than what they maybe were doing at the start of the season. But absolutely, he's a player who will certainly have came out of the tournament with a lot more kudos about him. And it'd be interesting to see whether or not if Aston Villa can hold on to Martinez as well, because certainly he's in another very kind of high profile tournament where maybe some of the bigger teams that are in likes of Champions League or things like that might be looking at him as an option for goalkeeping going forward, because he certainly had a very, very strong tournament, probably right up there with the Croatian keeper Livakovic in terms of the kind of best goalkeepers from the tournament.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, obviously, to see. There'll be lots, and there may be bids happening in January to test the waters, but then I think that most of the moves will probably still happen in the summer, is what I'd imagine will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, very successful tournament, I think. Lots of good football to watch. And, yeah, I think given everyone's kind of reservations over the kind of Winter World Cup and it kind of appearing right in the middle of the season, and obviously when we did our preview to it, well, we spoke about the players who weren't there in terms of your Benzemas and your Pogbas and the likes of that who were injured going into the tournament. But I think everyone that was there, you could say, really, really kind of benefited from the kind of one city feel of the competition. And obviously there wasn't a lot moving about. Obviously brand new stadiums that were filled for most of it, although albeit not necessarily filled by fans of their own nations, which led to the atmosphere at times not necessarily being amazing for all the matches. But I think there's been more good than there has been bad for the tournament.
Yeah, the kind of the logistics of it with the human rights controversy, but as in players travelling and fans travelling in and around Qatar. I had a friend who was there, went to 5 games, said it was really easy metro to get to every single stadium, but it was about a 20-minute walk to the stadium from there. In terms of that, and the football was on display, so I think the players probably did enjoy having that like one city feel to the tournament. Wouldn't it be a different one when you're obviously in the next World Cup? It's going to be Mexico, Canada, America, so there'll be lots of travelling back and forth. So yeah, I think football wise, logistically, it would have been a successful tournament. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've also managed to make FIFA reconsider the whole three team groups for the 2026 World Cup as well. So interesting to see how they carve that 48 team tournament up now, but as you mentioned, that's going to be a hugely different World Cup in terms of infrastructure and how those games are going to be accommodated in several different time zones and different locations, and obviously with that being the other side of the world, that you're not going to have those games at as favourable kickoff time, certainly from a UK perspective. So that will make the World Cup in 4 years' time a very different viewing experience than certainly this one's been.
Yes, and I just realised that. I mean, I vaguely remember I was only eight at a time, 9 at a time watching games late at night, World Cup in 1994, and then to do the same again. So yeah, I think it's if you're able to go out to the pub and put a place open late, you could maybe do it that way, and or stay up late watching the telly. But or if you can get to go there, it's certainly something that me and my friends have talked about, trying to save up to go to the World Cup in America. So that would be good to get to go to actually go to a World Cup would be amazing. Maybe Scotland there, but if not, it'd still be good to go.
Yeah, we will see what happens on that front. But no, big thank you to Will for your comments all the way through this tournament here on the Fourth Official. Certainly been a lot of fun to watch, and certainly tonight's match was a fairly fitting send-off to what's been a festival of football. So thank you very much for your time, for joining us here on the pod.